I want to welcome us once again to a program, Family Essence. Part of the family is to share the Word of God. I want to welcome us once again to another session of Family Essence. And I want to pray that as we come, the Lord God Almighty will bless our lives in Jesus' name. I want to appreciate us for always making it possible, to join in this program. And it's despite our schedules and all that, we still make our time for God. Which, of course, God is always interested in us making out time for Him. Because as we go about our daily work, because there is really the reward that God gives to us is evidence in a way. That's like the gift of life He has given unto us. Of course, if He decides, okay, I want this person to come to me, or I want to take this person, like the Lord God knows how to, you know, make that happen. So I want to appreciate us for joining us in this program, and I pray that as we come, the Lord God Almighty will bless our lives in Jesus' name. All right, so of course, I need to remind you, not really as an announcement, but I need to let us know tomorrow as well. God has made it possible for a program to be staged, which is called the Upper Room. Upper Room is a program designed by God and is geared towards ensuring the apostolic recovery of the Church of God, because what is happening these days is really not what God intended. Now, there are a lot of things going on in the church. There are false doctrines and false teachers, unlicensed teachers that are, you know, disguising as messengers of Jesus Christ, but they are not sent. So they've caused a lot of problems in the church. So God has design this program, the Upper Room, for us to be able to look into the depths of God's Word and to be able to understand His mind and His purpose for our generation. And that's the reason why that program, the Upper Room, is designed, where we look at the concept of prayer, where we look at the concept of doctrine, where we look at the concept of fellowship, and where we look at the concept of communion as well, just as the apostolic ministry was, which was committed by Jesus Christ to the early apostles, the 12 apostles, and as they continued hearing, so also Jesus Christ wants us to continue to be able to make heaven at the end and to fulfill God's purpose for our lives on earth. So, today we'll be looking at, today we'll be looking at a very important subject before us, which is the burden of God, the burden of God. Now, this subject basically, in the place of prayer, you know, need to inquire from God from time to time what He wants, what He has for his people, and what kind of discussion He wants us to have. So, the Lord God Almighty made it possible for us to come up with this message, with this subject, the burden of God, because right from ages past, God has always had a burden of recovery, a burden of reconciliation, a burden to reconcile His people back to Himself from whence whence they've fallen. And that's the essence of today's subject. And we will be looking at a couple of passages of scriptures here. First, we'll start with the book of Isaiah. You will discover that right from the beginning, when man fell, God has had a burden of restoring back the fallen man back to his original position, right? That is the goal, right? So it's very possible for us to feel that we are sufficient of ourselves. We don't need God, who created all things, who created us, who made all things possible for us. Now, the Adam and Eve program was to replicate God's administration in heaven on earth, and to ensure that same replicates, because our God is in the business of creation. That is who God is. He has always been creating things. He has always created things. So you know that this is not the only, you know, world that God has created. He has always been creating words, basically. You will discover that from the book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. You will see that same, you know, passage of scripture, you know, telling us about who God is and his purpose for creation, basically. So this is not the only word God has created. So there was a program, which is the Adam and Eve program, in order to replicate, you know, what was done in heaven in terms, what is being done in heaven in terms of the administration of God and in the affairs of his kingdom. So the same thing was supposed to be replicated, but the enemy infiltrates and, you know, take over that program by, you know, tempting man to sin against his maker. So since then, we are, man has been struggling man has been struggling with sin and does not see, basically, because of the things that are in the world, does not see the reason why they should go back to God. And men have always struggled. Have always struggled, which is not supposed to be. So the burden, God's burden, basically, is to place man back to its original position, which, you know, informed the purpose of sending his son, Jesus Christ, to model the culture of the kingdom of God to us. So we'll look at the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 1. If you have a copy of your Bible, you can read along with me. Isaiah chapter 1 in verse 1. I will be reading from verse 1 to verse 4. Now, it says there, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ears, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Now, this is a vision of God, you know, revealed to the prophet Isaiah. And then in verse 4 and verse 3, it says, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people doth not consider. Our sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the only one of Israel unto anger, and they have gone away backward. So that was what happened in the beginning, and the same thing continues, you know, in the world today. That's the reason why you see someone who, you know, does not, a man that is living in sin, does not, you can't, you don't have a control of what you do in the flesh. And in order for you to have a control of that, you need to go back to God and ask for His purpose for your life, and ask for His purpose for our life. So the emphasis here is to understand what the burden of God is, and how to reconcile our ways back to God, because He has the template of how the world should be run, how what should be the administration of the world. And that's the reason why from time to time you see people cast votes. The governments were supposed to do something, they didn't do it. There was squandering monies here and there. They were supposed to tie the road, they would not do it. Because they don't understand the concept of the word. There are a lot of things hidden in creation that a common man who does not operate with the ideals of the kingdom of God will do things based on what the flesh prescribes, not based on what God wants. There's a way God wants the affairs of the world to be run, just like the Garden of Eden. He made man, he put him in the garden from time to time, you know, giving him charge, do this. Okay, you have to name the animals, this is what you have to do, this is what. Man doesn't really have to struggle. We don't have to struggle, because our God is a God that has the template. He's the one that created the world. He has the template of the world. He understood creation, and he understands how things ought to be done. So when man rebelled against God, man kicked against the rulership of God and the headship of God upon his life. So since then, there has been chaos. Even in the world, you see different things happening. Because why? Man is not ready to operate under the influence and the administration of God. And that's the purpose of sending Jesus. Jesus came into the world to model, to basically let us understand how heaven operates. That's the reason why when he taught his disciples, he said, teach us, give us this day our daily bread, and teach us, okay? So that what is done in heaven, the same thing will be done on earth. So it's very important for us to understand that we cannot run the affairs of our lives with human knowledge, with human skill. So there's a need, there's a clarion call for us to go back to our Savior. And we can only go to God through Jesus Christ. By accepting our faults, by confessing our sins, and retracing our step back to the kingdom. So you would notice in the passage of scripture where we've read that even the likes of kings and priests and governments and presidents and high chiefs and captains, they are looking for solutions to rulership. To rulership. That's the reason why in the world this administration comes in. Okay, spend 4 years and say, okay, this administration didn't do this. Okay, the other administration can do better. You know, there has been wars and wars and wars, and this will continue. There is no end to this. This is going to continue. Okay, God, you see, it's okay. Let me help us understand this. Now, when a child is born into a home, there is already things that are more like a culture of that home. I don't want to say city, I don't want to say community. There are things that you do in the house. There are ways that you operate in the house. So this child is foreign to the home. Is a new person coming to the home, right? So as time goes on, if the child is not careful, it might kick against the policies and, you know, things you put in place over the years, you know, and to say, no, I want to go my way. And we see that happen in the world today, whereby someone decides to relocate to a city that he has no family, no siblings, no relative, no cousins, no one that could identify him. And then he will start using his own name as his last name to start raising children, because he doesn't want to affiliate with its original family. That is rebellion. That is rebellion. So that's what I'm saying, that we do not have the capacity to run the administration of the word, to put things in the right perspective based on our cerebral power or our knowledge or the certificate we got from Harvard or we got from Yale or from, you know, different college, Ivy League, and all that. It cannot work, because there are a lot of things that is hidden in creation that is unknown to man. That's the reason why governments keep changing from time to time. Different parties, political parties, and all the leaders are looking for answers, but they are not ready to be subject to the laws of God, to the policies of God. And that's the only way that the world, the affairs of the world, and the governments of the world can be run. It cannot be run based on, okay, this is what I think. No, it cannot be run by that. God needs to give a man a template to run with. And that's the only way things can be done, and the world will live in peace. As long as man is still ruling with his head knowledge, with a certificate of leadership strategic leadership, it can't work. It cannot work. So it cannot work. So therefore, we'll read the passage, another passage of scripture, which talks about what God had in mind and what he has put in place in order for him to restore man back to his kingdom. Because the burden of God still remains. God will not, until the whole earth, until his glory fill the earth, and as the waters covers the sea, God will keep having this burden until the world is finished. So, there are so many things, as I've said, that are hidden in creation, that without the knowledge and the wisdom of God, man will be shadow boxing. So what is happening in the world, in essence, is shadow boxing. What shadow boxing means is that, you wear a simulation headgear, and then you are seeing some figures, and then you are, you know, probably you'd have seen that one of those before, and somebody is boxing, somebody is, you know, is trying to box, is trying to, you know, look for a way to fight the enemy based on the headgear that is on, because it's playing a game. It's like a game, and you are fighting the enemy, and you're not moving from that place where you are, but you are just fighting. That is shadow boxing. Man will just be shadow boxing, and that is not a good thing, because you keep shadow boxing until when? Until when Christ comes, and then you end up in the wrong side of where you're supposed to be, which is hellfire. So many of us, we don't believe that this reality exists. When you see someone talks about the burden of God, when you see someone talks about repentance, when you see someone talks about heaven, when you see someone talks about hell, many of us feel, well, that's just a myth. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist for you, but it exists to other people. Because you haven't seen the power of God, you haven't seen the realities of what the word is, it's enough reason for you to doubt. And I want to tell you that these things are real. These things are real. This word is spiritual. There is no getting around it, right? So imagine you living your life. Everything is good for me. You know, I'm okay. I don't need God in my affairs. I'm the CEO of, you know, and all that. But if you check within yourself, there is still a vacuum. There are still problems that you cannot explain why your younger one is not, you know, is at loggerhead with your older one. Why, you know, there are divorces, there are sicknesses that you cannot explain. There are, you know, you spend so much money, you know, going from hospital to hospital for cures and research you've invested in. So there are so many things you cannot explain. Why? Because you're human. you've not come to terms with the realities of your life, with the reality of this life. You've not come to terms with it. You cannot survive what is happening in the world without taking Jesus Christ and identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You cannot overcome sin. You can't overcome temptation. You cannot overcome self. You can't overcome things that it's beyond your own explanation. It's beyond your own explanation. Right? So God has this burden of reconciling us back to Him, and it is important for us to understand that we are in the Word to please God. We are in the Word to honor God. We are in the Word to worship God. That is our primary responsibility. A man comes to the Word and God gets, you know, goes to school, you know, goes to colleges and, you know, obtains certificates and all that, and then he decides, well, I think I'm okay. I'm getting the right pay and all that. You can't be okay because there are still things hidden in creation that your hand cannot handle. Your mental ability cannot handle. Your education that you obtain cannot explain it. Even the scientists will tell you there are things that are beyond science. They are looking for solution. They can't explain it. Because it's beyond science, it's beyond research, it's beyond research, it's beyond science. So, anyone born of woman today will first need to contend with sin. That's the first thing. Any child that is, and even if the child goes to school, gets education, grew up, he will at a point, he comes to his reality and he will need to contend with sin. He will need to gain dominion before aligning with God's purpose. That you go to school or you finish university, you have the right job. You've not started living the life God wants you to live up until you are able to overcome and gain dominion over sin. When man fell in the Garden of Eden, he had to struggle, you know, before he gains alignment. And then in the process of trying to gain alignment, he falls back into sin again. You can see that from the life of Cain and Abel. You know, one was pleasing God, the other one was, you know, was not happy because his own devotion was not accepted before God. And then he had to, you know, kill his brother and all that. And this has been a contention. Sin is like an odor that a man carries around. You don't see the odor, but the odor is something that is glaring to everyone around you. Is glaring, is not everyone can see the odor. But the person that is carrying the odor does not see the odor. So that is how sin is. It's very important for us to understand that this burden of God God has, has done what it takes to be able to recover us from sin by sending his only son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die for our sins. Now, in the book of, if you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'll read from verse 1 to... to verse 10, so that we can have an understanding of the intention of God and what God has put in place for us to be able to be reconciled back to himself. Ephesians chapter 1, I read it from verse chapter 1, from verse 1 to 10. In verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has proposed in himself. In verse 10, it says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So I want to stop there for a moment. It says there that in the dispensation of time, that the word dispensation is actually a word that is used as allowance of time, like giving a gap. Like God allowed a season, what I'm trying to say is that the way we are living now is because God allowed it. We don't know for how long. That word dispensation is, those that use the word dispense. I know those in the drug industry, the pharmacists, the dispense drugs. That's their job. But that word, because KJV is an old, we are stuck with it. There is no, and this is the only Bible that I know that would tell you exactly what it is. There are other passages of scripture, there are other versions of Bibles that, whenever I'm reading them, I'm not too comfortable reading them. So I'm just stuck with the KJV version. So the dispensation is just an allowance of time. God created time for us to be reconciled back to God. We don't know how long this time is going to be for. We don't know if it's going to be 5 years. We don't know. Nobody knows if it's going to be 2 years, so that he will be able to gather all things in one, so that we will be able to come to the knowledge of God and to be able to accept his son Jesus Christ, so that we can be reconciled back unto him. That is the reason why this allowance, it's God that made it so. There is an allowance, there is a gap, there is a space of time for man to go back to the doing what the will of God is. Okay, so that is what God has established. He has made it possible. He has given us time for us to be able to do His will, for us to be able to follow His ways, for us to be able to do that which God wants. Now, we need to understand that kings in the past and, you know, princes and high chiefs and captains, they just like the world where we are, you know, you have presidents, you have governors, you have local government chairman, you have, you know, I've seen people say, this person will do it right, let's vote for this person. Nobody can do anything right except through God. Nobody has you have no power to do things right in the world if you are not doing it from the knowledge and the wisdom of God. Remember when Solomon in the Bible asked God, God said, ask me anything. And he said, I don't know how to rule these people. I am deficient in this area of administration. I am deficient. So please, you will need to give me wisdom so that I will be able to rule your people, not my people. So what is happening in the world? When someone comes into a position, he feels this is the time to exercise influence, and what you are doing will be according to the prescription of your flesh, because you have no ability to compel man to do things that if you do it, if you see anybody doing that, he's ready to go to where he doesn't want to go to. Because God will not allow that kind of person to live long. You have no ability to control man. You say, if I put this policy, you know, we've seen people in the past, you know, presidents of different countries like Germany and the likes, even the Roman empires and the, you know, the emperors and all, they try to control. If that person is going to... God will say, no, this is not how I want it done. And that is wisdom for us to learn from. Okay, those things that were written in the past, those things, those history that we've learned in the past, is for us to be able to understand that there are things in creation that man does not know. That was the reason why Solomon had to run to God and see, this thing, I don't, help me. Because I cannot by myself rule your people. So if you walk in this consciousness, you will discover that it's easier for you to live the way God wants you to live. And struggling, you wouldn't have to be struggling for what is that God has made. There are a lot of things that God has in store for those who are willing to obey Him. The issue here is the issue of sin. And the issue of sin is the issue of disobedience to the laws and the word of God. That is the problem. And since then, man has always struggled, and then Satan has always made sure that man consistently model disobedience and pass it on to generations. So when a child is born today, is the inheritance of a man is not just the house, is not just the property that the parent left behind. Is the first inheritance of any man is sin. That's the first inheritance. If you like, go and get certificate. Go and get whatever. Get the right job. There is sin inherent in man. And because of that, you will not be able to do what you intend to do. And what God wants you to do, you cannot do that until that issue of sin is tackled, is destroyed in man. That is when you now have the capacity to build your life and to do things the way God intended it to be. So we are living in the world. We live for God. We live for Christ. We don't live for ourselves. In my little walk with God, I know God has burdens. And one of the burdens that God has is to reconcile man back to Him. That is the goal of God, to reconcile man back to Him. Think about it. Someone sent His Son to the world to die for the world so that we can live a life without sin. And we can do things that are pleasing to God. So that's the intention of God. But man decides, well, I think I have what it takes to make things happen. No, you don't have the ability to do things. Go and read the book of Romans chapter 7. Paul the Apostle described the nature of sin. And just read chapter 7. And don't just read chapter. You understand what sin can do to man. It can control a man. It can control a man to do things that he doesn't want to do, based on the prescription of the flesh. I was watching a video. It's so unfortunate, that someone can just sit down and say, because this person cheated on me, I'm going to destroy the person. And then he took something and then he decided to destroy that individual. So it's so unfortunate. That's the nature of sin. That's the nature of sin. What salvation does is to kill the sinful nature of man. You will not be capable of doing that which you want to do, because there is a constrained element of God inside of you. It's not as if you are not capable. You can be capable of smashing something on the floor because you are hungry, but because of the love of God, there is a constraining element in you that will not allow you to do that. Because if you do that, you are doing things against the will and the purpose of God. If God wants someone to be somewhere in a position, and you're saying, no, this person cannot be in this position. I cannot be here. I've been here for 5 years. This person just came in last year. They promoted him. This one, that one. You can bring all your strong reason, but that's the will of God. The will of God says, this person has to be in this position this year. And you are saying you have been there 5 years, and they've not placed you in that position. It's not the will of God for you to be there. No, it's not. If it's the will of God for you to be there, you will. In fact, you'll be more than, maybe in another position that is even higher than that. It's not the will of God. It's not the will of God. So stop. Don't let us fight. It's a struggle. This age and time, men struggle to. They are fighting, they want to climb the ladder, they don't care whose head they cut off, they just want to make sure that that's not how to live. If God should tell you how you are going to live your life, the constraining element of God allows God to put a program upon your life and to put His laws in your heart, so that though you want to do evil, but you are constrained. That ability to do it is restraint. There's a restraining element, and that's what salvation does. When you see someone with genuine, we should not see the church this age should not be preaching. We should not be thinking, don't even think that everybody you see in the church is born again. No. Even the minister of God, the person that is teaching people the way, no. Don't let us be too quick by saying that someone is converted. No. When you see somebody who is genuinely saved, you will see the fruits. you will see it's exact. Salvation is something you can. When you see somebody who is telling you he's saved, and the person is still fighting at work, is still abusing, is still, you know, fornicating, is still fighting with his wife, fighting with her husband, you know, is quarreling, is nagging, like at work. Once he comes in, everybody scatter everywhere. You know, there is no law regulating the life of that individual. That person is not safe. That person is not safe. So the thought these days, just want to embrace everybody. You know, we are all walking towards the kingdom. We are not all going to the. If you, gosh, open your eyes to see the number of people that are going into heaven, you will be shocked. That even the people that the pastor is pastoring, he needs to labor more for the souls of men. He needs to labor more for the souls of men. And we have men, preachers, that are preaching things that Christ did not endorse, that does not come, is just based on human passion, human desires. There is no life infused into their messages. So how can God be happy with that? That is God's body. Someone will wake up and will think, okay, prosperity is at the door, the keys to prosperity. And he's preaching a message based on human flesh, human desires. He looks at his congregation and he looks at, okay, he wants to double the number of the congregation. Maybe they are 50. He wants to increase it to. He wants to. What the person is building is Babylon. What that person is building, it is not God. That is, he's not raising disciples that will enter into the kingdom. That person is like a Pharisee. He compounds lands and sea to make one proselyte, and then when that person is become a standing member in the church, a sitting member in the church, he makes that person 10 times a fold, I mean, a child of hell than a child of the kingdom. So they begin to preach, they preach messages that is based on flesh. They don't take time. You know, I was listening to one of the patriarchs, and he said, it told us the number of hours that he used to prepare a message. The number of hours that he used to prepare just one message. Not 10 messages. One. Just one message. Just one message. Hours. Not 3 hours. Not 4 hours. To prepare one message. More than 7 hours to prepare one message. And somebody will now come and will title. So different title. You see different things going on in the body of Christ, and that is the reason why the body of God is still remains. So let's embrace the laws of God. Let's embrace the laws of God. Let's follow his commandments. His commandments will make us understand his program for our life. Nobody comes into the world as an experiment. God designed you for a program. There's something God wants to fulfill through individual's life. But when you kick against his program and you decide to go the other way, that the wilderness journey will be longer. It will be very, very long. So I want to say to us that the purpose of God sending Jesus is to reconcile us back to him. Is to make sure that God does no longer have body again in the world. Everything has been made perfect. So in order for you to be able to walk with the laws of God And with the regulations of the kingdom of God, you need to accept Jesus Christ into your life. You need to identify with Jesus Christ, no matter what it takes. Your friends will come and say, "Ah, so you've chosen this way. Okay, bye-bye. Let them go. Let them go." Once you understand that there is a program for your life, it's easier. Not everybody will be able to identify with what you identify with. Because take a look at it. How many years now? Counting. You are still, you can't control your emotions. You can't, everything is just, you can't, you have friends that are putting you into troubles. It is because you are kicking against the program of God for your life. And you are increasing God's burden. Because if a man kicks against the program of God for his life, he has increased the... God now has another burden now. See, how can I save this soul? How can I save this soul that is going to hell? So, as many that are listening to the sound of my voice, if you are ready to accept the Lord Jesus Christ today, it is the best decision that you can ever make in your life. Forget the certificate that you have. Even if you are a first class, if you are a top in the whatever hierarchy you have attained, even in career, those things don't matter. What matters in your life first is securing the kingdom of heaven and walking with the will and the purpose of God for your life. That is your primary goal on earth. The career and everything you are chasing, those ones are, by the time you start following, you start picking up a cross and identify with Jesus Christ and you start following his laws, you will discover that things will start, you will notice changes around your life. The changes will be evident in your life. That is the life of God in man. That is the life of Christ in man. A new command, you now start operating under commandments, under laws, under policies of heaven. God brings you into his own economy so that you will not need to be struggling. You will not need to be, thinking, my life is in serious chaos. No, your life is, it's because you kick against God's program for your life. So if you want to accept God's program for your life, you need to identify with Jesus Christ. So I'll be praying with you today, and I want you to make up your mind. Forget about, those that are around you. What would they say if I start following Christ? They have a program of God for their own life. You have the program of God for your life. So if God says this person is not supposed, there are some people that are not supposed to be part of our lives, but they are there. And that's the reason why our life, you can't, it's like a roller coaster, it's like a conveyor belt. You can't describe your life. So I'll be praying with you today. Bow down your heads if you are willing and you are ready to accept Christ as your Lord and personal Savior today. Father, we thank you for your word today. Father, we thank you for your message. Thank you, Lord, because we have decided not to increase the burden of God. Lord, I'm praying, I'm asking for as many that are willing and have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into their life today, that you will forgive them their sins and their trespasses in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse them, wash them whiter than snow in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray, oh God, that you give them the power and the grace to sin no more in Jesus' name. As they have identified with you and they have accepted your Son Jesus into their life today, I pray, oh God, that your Holy Spirit will walk with them in Jesus' name. Give them the power to sin no more. Give them the grace to walk with you and to bear their cross to follow after Jesus in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm praying, I'm asking that you will write your word consistently on the table of their heart, and you will help them, oh Lord, to be able to overcome the enemies of their lives in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm praying, I'm asking, oh God, that your presence will abide with them. Write their names in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for I know it is done. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to congratulate you for accepting our Lord and personal Savior, Jesus Christ, into your life today. And I want to assure you, it will be a sweet experience for you coming into the kingdom of God, accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage us. Tomorrow is another time for Upper Room program, and I want to believe that as we tag along, God is doing wonders in the lives of his people, and he will show himself strong in our lives as well, in Jesus' name.